1 Timothy 4:1 says that in the last days, people would depart for doctrines of demons. And that is quite true today. Because of that falling away that occurs generation after generation, we are a confessional church. By being confessional, it means that we have doctrinal boundaries. Now, my background growing up was in a church where creeds and confessions were completely unfamiliar to us. I remember going away to college and going to the Lutheran chapel and hearing the creeds being confessed there. And it was new for me, and I sort of liked it. But we are not confessional because we like it or because I like it. We are confessional because it helps to define who we are and to know what we believe. The church I grew up in had statements like, "No creed but Christ." Or, "Where the Bible speaks, we speak. Where the Bible is silent, we are silent." Now, those are very good phrases in and of themselves. But we all know how easy it is to draw anything that you want to believe from the Bible. Therefore, we affirm certain creeds and confessions here at Providence Church. And when we have a confession of faith in our service, such as this time, it is a confession of what we believe. It is not my pet doctrine or what I believe, but it is the confession of the faith of the body of Christ. Many of the creeds and confessions thus begin with the phrase, "We believe," "I believe," "I confess," "We teach." Those are wonderful phrases. But I want to remind you, first of all, that there are two senses in which some people speak of the word confessional. And we need to make that distinction because you may see it read in different ways. The two ways in which the term confessional is primarily used is, first off, the historical belief of the church. That's what we mean when we talk of being confessional. We are embracing that which is the historical belief of the church, of the Reformed churches. Confessional, though, or you may hear the phrase confessional churches or the confessional church, and there is a specific sense in which that has been used historically, in that the church that resisted the Nazis in Germany is often referred to as the confessional church. Primarily because it was those who truly held to the doctrinal stance of Christ that resisted the Nazis. And so that group that Bonhoeffer and others were in is often referred to as the confessional church. We don't use the term in that sense. But we are the confessional church, holding that which has always been believed and holding on to certain specific beliefs that give us safety, that give us boundary. And it's important to understand as we get into the creeds, which are certainly universal, and then the confessions, which are less universal, that we don't expect everyone to subscribe to every detail, but in general to subscribe to the basic teachings of those, because in our belief system, they embrace what Scripture teaches. If confessions or creeds don't embrace Scripture, then certainly they are subordinate to Scripture. In many ways, what we are saying is this, and that is that you cannot be a Christian and believe whatever you want. There are boundaries to our belief. Faith, and we believe strongly that faith is the means of salvation through grace. Faith is always understood in two senses. It is belief in and belief that. And confessions and creeds are part of the belief that. There is content to what we believe. And this last point I want to make today for you is this. that confessions, creeds, are biblical. They are scriptural. I'd like to read three of them for you, and we will sing the third one together then. For instance, Paul writes this: if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. A very clear statement of belief, a clear, very clear boundary. Or, as Paul writes even further in the book of Philippians, in an extensive passage that we're all familiar with, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant. And being made in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those who are in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Certainly there is no greater confession than that. And the last one I want to refer to today is in 1 Timothy. And then I'd like you to turn to 3:26, and we will sing this as well. In 1 Timothy 3:16, it states, please note the wording of this, and our translations may be a little different, but it's a wonderful, wonderful verse, a wonderful verse of confession of what we believe. And by common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. He who was revealed in the flesh was vindicated in the spirit, beheld by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, and taken up in glory. Would you please turn to 3:26 as we sing this song?